This is PCJ Radio International. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perrell.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to the first edition of Media Network Plus for 2014. We begin today's program to talk about the voice of Russia. Now, a few weeks ago, we mentioned that there was a lot of rumors and speculation on the internet floating around saying that the voice of Russia was going to be leaving shortwave. Well, we, of course, just found out before the end of the year that this wasn't the case. There is, however, a dramatic reduction in shortwave. Now, before we get to what they're going to be doing concerning shortwave, this is what Vasily Strelnikov had to say on his program From Moscow with Love.
Folks, there's been a lot of talk on the internet, all over the place, about the end of shortwave broadcasts from the Voice of Russia. Is it going to happen? I don't know. I haven't discussed it with anyone around here. Am I worried like some of you are? No. Am I losing sleep over it? No. Am I posting mindless crap about this and the Voice of Russia all over the internet? No. Do I care? Not really. Do I have a life? Yes, I'd like to think so. Look, so many stations have already left the shortwave bands for the same reasons. Are we as shortwave listeners happy? No. But can we put all our emotions aside and deal with reality? You might be asking why there hasn't been anything on the air or on the website about this. Good question. I would probably guess it's because folks here don't make such a big deal out of it. Honest. The fact is, most of the comrades here at the office will continue working just as they have always did. The programs will be carried online, on satellite, and on the many local stations around the world, in cities like Washington, D.C., New York, Miami, Chicago. There are DAB broadcasts in the U.K. and other European cities. The list grows all the time. Yes, shortwave listeners are disappointed. I can understand this. But the hobby doesn't end there, huh? Does it? Get a grip.
Absolutely. The hobby of DXing doesn't have to end there. Now, let's talk about the new VOR schedule. I'm taking a breath only because I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it. Well, maybe I should just be honest. In all my years working in international broadcasting, I have never seen a more sloppy schedule than I have with the new Voice of Russia schedule. The new schedule, which is posted online, targets four regions: Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Middle East, and Europe. Let's talk about Asia for a moment. Actually, their Asian schedule is not bad. It's actually okay. But let's talk about this one. Australia and New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand, they're going to target from 6 to 9 hours UTC on 21800 kilohertz. I should mention, by the way, this is Australia, New Zealand. No mention of Africa on their schedule. If we go to the Middle East, the only frequencies listed are, well, medium wave frequencies. And then we go to Europe, and it's all DRM frequencies. This has got to be the sloppiest, like I said, schedule of any shortwave broadcaster that I have ever seen in my life. Now, let's talk about Australia and New Zealand. For some reason, you have Asia, Middle East, Europe, and then Australia, New Zealand appears for a couple of hours inside. Wait, no Africa? Doesn't Africa have one of the largest shortwave audiences next to Southeast and East Asia? And then for Europe, DRM. What? Are they expecting to reach how many people? Two? I'm being sarcastic, of course, by saying two. It's not really two, it's maybe two handfuls, and that's it. So this schedule is just beyond me, and also medium wave to the Middle East. This has been shown time and time again that listeners in the Middle East do not listen to medium wave. Now, you can tell right away that this schedule was put together by somebody who didn't look at any research or have any idea of what they were doing, especially when it comes to the areas of Australia, New Zealand, Middle East, and Europe. I don't personally get it. This has got to be the most sloppy schedule that I have ever seen put together by any international broadcaster. Now, one thing, of course, that we should point out is who knows how long this is going to last. And if they're going to put out a schedule like this where literally nobody can hear you, well, why even keep it at all? And especially the fact that they don't put Africa. Africa! Now, could you imagine the BBC World Service or the Voice of America saying, you know what, we're going to come up with a new schedule and we're going to ignore Africa? Well, effectively, that's what the VOR has just done. An entire continent where shortwave radio is, by many accounts, and of course this has been proven by a number of people, that shortwave is one of the most important means to receive information in many countries in the continent. But apparently, to Voice of Russia, Africa doesn't exist. So we're going to have to see how this new schedule plays out. DRM to Europe? Well, maybe the Russians know something that nobody else does. Anyway, you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. On December 31st last year, the BBC World Service ran a very interesting piece in their World Business Program on shortwave radio and its future. Now, you're probably wondering, why would they run something on shortwave radio in a business program? Well, it was to look at if, whether or not shortwave radio has a future in the digital age. They did a very interesting 10 minutes, and they sent their reporter, Lucy Burton, to visit Radio Romania.
Do you recognize this sound? It's shortwave radio, and some of the biggest announcements of the 20th century were heard through the crackles and the hiss of these radio waves. Twiddling the dials, you could learn about crises, coups, and the Cold War. But as technology advances, the future for this once vital method of communication looks uncertain. This is the sound of their vast Radio Liberty transmitters being demolished on the Costa Brava in Spain in 2006. They once relayed news from the United States to people living under the iron fist of the Soviet Union. But now that the Cold War is over, is there still a need for shortwave? For the last 85 years, Radio Romania has beamed its message around the world from its headquarters in Bucharest. But for how much longer? The Radio Romania building is imposing and austere, with marble floors and staircases. It's a huge building, there are 8 floors, and about 2,000 people work here. Off each of the long corridors are studios broadcasting in several different languages, including English, French, Arabic, and of course, Romanian.
Este ora 17.
Irina Adamescu is the editor-in-charge of the foreign languages here at Radio Romania, and we're chatting to her in the most incredible wooden-panelled studio. The door is incredibly heavy and has a sort of porthole window that the team on the other side can look through. We've got 3 microphones in the middle of a table and some headphones as well. And today Irina is this side of the microphone and not telling people what to do on the other side of it. But Irina, tell me a little bit about Radio Romania International. Why is it important for the station to broadcast in so many different languages to all of these different countries?
Am constatat că există o deficiență de informare.
We've noticed that there's a lack of information, especially in Western countries, about Romania.
The information is either absent or negative. It's important for us to broadcast from Bucharest about news, politics or day-to-day life. We need to show the country as it is.
Radio Romania is one of the last stations in Europe to still broadcast in shortwave. Do you ever get any listener response from people abroad listening in shortwave? And what do they say about it?
When we celebrated 85 years of broadcasting, we asked our listeners about the future of international radio. We received about 200 letters from the areas we transmit to, and all of them asked us to keep broadcasting in shortwave.
When I listen to shortwave, I find it very crackly and difficult to listen to. Do you think that it's something that a medium that will continue for a long time?
I believe it will continue, but we need to differentiate between the areas we use it in. Most of our listeners to our French programmes are in the Maghreb area, as well as the Central African countries. For economic reasons, our African listeners won't be using the internet anytime soon, so we do need to carry on with shortwave. This isn't the case in Europe, where people listen on the internet. But I do think it's important to keep it running in case of emergencies.
But what does Irene's boss think? In his plush wood-panelled office with views of the imposing Palace of the Parliament, I asked Director-General Ovidiu Michelescu whether shortwave has any distinct advantage over more modern methods of broadcasting.
For modern radio, it's very useful for different territories without any other source or channel to listen, but these short waves can be replaced with success by FM, AM, digital, satellite, internet. But don't forget that there are many isolated areas or very low developed areas around the world, in Africa, in South America, in Russia. Because if we are looking on the map who use short waves, we will see that in this territory the presence are very active. But I don't think that short waves will have a future in radio.
You don't think that there'll be a future?
No, I don't think so.
Because?
Because of increase of IT infrastructure, they are developing day by day, not from year to year or month by month. And I am sure that in a more isolated area around the world, not in a very long time, another type of access to information, to media, will arrive.
So how much longer will Radio Romania use shortwave for?
I think that in the next maximum 3 years, I think it will be history.
That's unwelcome news to enthusiasts like Glenn Hauser.
World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave.
He's a radio show host from Oklahoma in the United States.
Bahrain, Brazil, Cuba, Equatorial Guinea.
His weekly show, World of Radio, takes a look at what's been happening in the world of shortwave radio.
Shortwave has a tremendous advantage in that it's a direct connection, or almost direct, between the station and the listener. There's no intermediary. It's coming right through the ionosphere, bouncing from one part of the world to another. Some countries try to block shortwave by jamming, which is somewhat effective, but they can't cut it off or interrupt it, as is the case with broadcasting via internet. It's an old technology, but it is efficient.
I suppose the question is there a commercial reason to keep shortwave going?
Apparently many shortwave or former shortwave broadcasters think there is not. Of course, it does involve an expense of running many kilowatt hours of electricity into the ionosphere, and that is an expense the stations have to pay.
So other than, I suppose, preserving this kind of once fantastic piece of broadcasting equipment, is it just perhaps enthusiasts that want to keep it going?
Well, it's the enthusiasts we know about and we hear from. Unfortunately, there is not a very effective way to do audience research on shortwave, to know how many people are really out there listening and may not be, quote, enthusiasts who make their presence known.
So there could be far more people that rely on it.
Yes, and even, I'm sure this varies depending on the situation, but shortwave is a reliable backup means, if nothing else, for reaching listeners, and it should be kept available, if not in full use, by many different stations.
Do you see a day when there are no shortwave transmitters left at all?
I really doubt that. There certainly has been attrition, and a number of stations have closed down, but there are many small stations which still use shortwave. And by the way, although a number of relay sites in our North American area or in the Americas have closed down, unfortunately, there's been a recent development in that one has been revived, and it's the largest one in the Western Hemisphere at Okeechobee, Florida. And now they have 13 shortwave transmitters available, which could carry all kinds of stations from overseas if they would just make use of them for relays. And I wish one of those would be the BBC World Service. We miss it very much from being able to just turn on a radio and hear it.
Another factor of concern is the low level of tax collection.
As Mr. Hauser points out, shortwave gets to people and places that the internet cannot, either because of a lack of infrastructure or because governments simply block the content. But in a world of austerity and cost-cutting, radio stations are under increasing pressure to make savings where they can. And the giant masts that transmit shortwave are often the first to fall. But its supporters continue to hope that this form of broadcasting will be with us just a little bit longer.
Lucy Burton of the BBC reporting from Bucharest. Asia is the worst region in the world for journalists to work in, with countries such as the Philippines and India named among the worst. That's according to a report from the International Federation of Journalists, which called on governments to protect and enforce the basic rights of reporters. 108 journalists were killed in 2013, a drop of 10% from the previous year. Christopher Warren is the Federal Secretary of the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance. He speaks next to Chevali Nayak.
Well, it's driven by different things in different countries. Well, we see, for example, in the Philippines, where there's almost a criminal underclass that is targeting journalists, often in cooperation with corrupt police or other corrupt authorities. Or we see in Pakistan, where journalists get caught between political uprisings or terrorist groups, and indeed also some criminal gangs. So in many places, it's driven by different things, although what brings it all together is that groups see journalists as a threat and see targeting journalists as a way of advancing their goals, whether they're criminal or political or terror-related. And as a result, journalists are increasingly being killed as a result of trying to do their job.
Asian countries such as the Philippines and India are among the most dangerous countries in the world for reporters. Why are these particular countries hotspots?
India is a very good example of what happens when you get societies in turmoil and societies in change, where even democratic societies then struggle with the ability to find the people who are targeting journalists and arrest them and charge them. Well, one of the worst things about that's happened to the attacks on journalists over the past few years is that almost no one gets charged or convicted of murdering a journalist. If we look in Pakistan, for example, I think of the almost 100 journalists that have been killed this century, in only one case has there been a successful criminal prosecution of the person involved. In every other case, the killers of the journalists involved have got away with it. And governments worldwide have an absolute responsibility to end this climate of impunity, this sense that you can kill a journalist and get away with it.
The Pacific also faces issues with freedom of speech and media rights. Although there's no record of the number of deaths in the report by the IFJ, is the situation in the Pacific any better?
In the Pacific, generally, it can vary dramatically from country to country. One of the things that we are seeing in Australia right now is that Australian journalists working in the region, indeed working around the world, are finding themselves in far greater danger than may have been the case historically. Journalists are finding that increasingly pressure is being brought to bear on them, but we're now also seeing governments, authorities, corrupt police, corrupt organisations, terrorist organisations, also targeting foreign journalists to try and prevent foreign journalists reporting what's going on within their country.
But in terms of the larger media landscape in Asia, how do you think these kind of events or these kind of incidences actually affect the development of, you know, a better media landscape?
In many countries, the attacks on journalists reflect the fact that journalists are increasingly doing their job, that increasingly journalists are better able and more open about reporting what's going on in their societies. The problem is when journalists report what's going on in their societies, those who are corrupt or seeking to defeat democracy in their societies turn against and target journalists who are doing their job. So in many ways, the struggle for democracy is part of the attack on journalists.
Well, I'm sure this is a story that we're going to be following next year as well. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, those who listen to PCJ programs are probably aware of this, but we archive all the shows online on Saturday. They're usually distributed on a Friday, then they air at various radio stations, and then we put them all online on Saturday, sometimes also Sunday. Well, we decided to change this beginning this year. The show, new shows now, will be archived the first day of their release, or the first day of their transmission from us. So, this is the new schedule. Mondays, you can catch the Stuff File program. Tuesdays, Jazz for the Asking. Wednesday, the Kelly Alexander Show. Thursday, Switzerland in Sound. Friday, Vintage Media Network and Focus Asia Pacific. That's the weekly edition of the program. Saturday, this program and the repeat of Vintage Media Network. And Sunday, the Happy Station Show. So again, beginning this year, the shows will be released after their first transmission from PCJ Radio International. Not necessarily the transmission of our partner station, because some of the partner stations do air the programs before we do. So anyway, that's it. It's easy, you know, nothing more, nothing challenging or anything like that. You can find them all, of course, at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Now, very quickly, as you're probably aware, the 22nd and 29th of December, we extended our schedule to Europe and North America. And on the 29th of December, we did our first ever global live transmission that was an overwhelming success. And we're going to be extending it this weekend as well. January the 5th, we're going to be targeting our one-hour transmission to Southeast, East Asia, and North America. The frequency, of course, for Southeast and East Asia is 9335 kilohertz, and to North America, 11880 kilohertz, and that program will be live. So those listening right now in North America will have to wake up early on a Sunday morning to catch us, and we have a couple of surprises. It's going to be our normal schedule, so it also includes 15 minutes of news from the Asia Pacific with Andy Sennett with Focus Asia Pacific, followed by Happy Station. And that's our live transmission this Sunday, January the 5th, on 9335 to Asia and to North America on 11880 kilohertz. For more information, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll find all the information there. All right. Now, what can we expect propagation-wise for the beginning of the new year? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
A 10.7-centimeter flux of 150 on January 4th, January 5th and 6th, 155, January 7th, 150, January 8th and 9th, 140, January 10th, 135. The A index starts out at 8 on January 4th, then we'll see an A index of 5 from January 5th to January 9th. On January 10th, we'll see an A index of 15. The KP index starts out at 3 on January 4th. From January 5th to January 9th, we'll have a KP index of 2. On January 10th, the KP index will close out at 4. 2014 began with a bang. At 1854 UT on January 1st, Big Sunspot AR1936 erupted, producing a strong M9 class solar flare. This eruption follows close on the heels of an almost equally strong M6 category explosion on New Year's Eve. A coronal hole has been observed on the sun's east central region and will send us a solar wind here on Earth around January 3rd or 4th. For more, see our website, www.pcjmedia.com. pcjmedia.com/RPROP. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. Anyway, we are now out of time. If you want to listen to this program again or catch all the editions of the show that we did in 2013, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. That's www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. There's also a link there so you can subscribe to the program in iTunes. So you just click on the link, click subscribe, and all the shows from last year or some, the ones you want to listen to will be downloaded into iTunes. There's some shows, by the way, I realize that are not dated. So the information is still relevant. Some of them, however, are rather out of date. But, you know, you might find them fun to listen to. Anyway, if you want to let us know what you think of the program and if you have any story ideas for us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. And of course, we always look forward to hearing from you. Special shout out right now to Tarmo in Estonia. Hello, Tarmo. The reason I'm doing that, because he just recently sent us a comment on something, so I said I'd do a shout out to him. Hello, Tarmo. All right, that's it. That's all we have time for. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron saying so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Yeah.